Thank you, John. This was originally to be presented by my former graduate student who just finished his PhD this past August. And he ended up not coming, and so I'm presenting it for him. But he is the primary author, and I'd like to also recognize Dr. Rishu Sui, who's sitting in the back, and John Wanura for their efforts in making this paper, this presentation possible. Well, as in the way of background, there are a couple of factors that determine the producer's profit. Basically, yield that we've been talking about, and also fiber quality is a big factor. Well, mapping fiber quality is sort of a new idea that some people have been thinking about in the last few years that could have some economic advantages because it enables you to know, in terms of a map, what your actual revenue in a given location is. Here are some examples of some maps that have been made based on micronair and length and so forth. Mapping fiber quality based on hand samples, which is what's been typically done in the research, obviously can't be done in a practical setting. The fiber quality of hand-picked cotton also differs from that of machine-harvested cotton. So if you make a map based on hand-picked cotton, it's not going to be exactly what it would be if you were harvesting with a picker or a stripper. The question then is it possible to map fiber quality automatically, like a cotton yield monitor for cotton yield? Well, at present, there's no kind of fiber quality sensor that you can put on a harvester and make a map. Now, that may be coming down the road, but it's not there now. So, a little bit more background. We do have data on quality that are measured at the classing office, and they're typically available at the gen. And you know, so can we take the data that we have from the classing office and apply those back to the field? And Calvin mentioned in his talk that his producer was using module area as a region within the field, and that's basically what we're trying to do with this system in this research, and you'll see some examples of that later on. There are a couple of missing components in this in tying the classing office data back to the field, and that's the spatial correspondence of individual cotton modules and their field origins. If we know this, we can tie it back to the field, the data that we have at the classing office. And you see a little example taking the tabular data on the upper right to field position based on module areas. Well, here is a wireless GPS system, and we call it wireless GPS because it's got a wireless transmitter receiver and a GPS system. So those are really two separate things. It records location information on the harvester based on the GPS. There's a data acquisition system to keep track of the data. And it tracks basket loads from the harvester to the module builder. Now, this is actually a little bit more complicated than just tracking basket area, because the assumption that we had going into it was that the system is fairly complicated. You may have multiple harvesters in a field. You may have multiple bull buggies. You may have multiple module builders. And all the traffic going in among all of these things, and you've got to keep track of where one basket of cotton goes and ends up in a module, so you can track those fiber quality data back to that basket area where that basket was harvested. So ultimately, the data that we get back are going to be on a module basis. So if you look at the third bullet there, it talks about delineating the area where each individual module comes from. We want to map the module level fiber quality data, which is basically an average of the bales that come out of that module, because we don't know where any individual bale exactly came from, but we know they all came from within that module, using the module number as the link back to the field. Okay, bottom right there, you'll see that we built this prototype system. This is a data acquisition system there with the input pad. It included a harvester subsystem and a module builder subsystem. We field tested this in the fall of 2006 near Plains, Texas. You'll see the module builder subsystem on the right, the harvester subsystem in the middle there being installed. And this is basically a problem for general usage at this point, that there was no bull buggy system. And if we want to use a bull buggy between the builder and the harvester, we need to be able to track where that bull buggy is going. We also had an issue with limited wireless transmission range. I don't remember exactly how far we could go, but it wasn't as far as we wanted to. We also had some software inefficiency problems. So the objectives of this work this year were to improve the system and field test the improved system, demonstrate the capability of the system for module level fiber quality mapping. In terms of improving the system, we wanted to include a bull buggy subsystem. We wanted to put the wireless antennas on the outside, and that may seem like a trivial matter, but that was the principal reason that we didn't have the transmission range that we wanted. The cables that everything came with, we mounted everything up, and there it was, and we were getting transmission ranges that were a little short, and so we got an extender cable and mounted that on the top, and that basically solved the problem, and you'll see that coming up here in a minute. The program, which was a much more significant effort, was the software program was redesigned for efficiency. Well, this picture on the upper left here is the impact center, which is just to the west of College Station, a few miles, and we were doing some of the work there and some on the research farm right next to that. We'll call it Riverside Field. On the impact center, we had about 12 hectares or 5 modules, and at the Riverside Field, we had about 25 hectares and 11 modules. AJ, that's a nice picture of you there. In terms of system installation, you can see the system, the data processing boxes left and right. You've got the harvester on the left and the module builder on the right. And the wireless antenna is now mounted high and outside the cabs of those devices. This time, instead of using a completely separate GPS system like we'd done before, which was a very low-cost system, since we had the John Deere harvester with its own high-quality GPS, we just tapped into that. And that worked out very nicely. We were able to get a splitter that allowed us to run the GPS signal not only to their system but into our system. Module numbers were input into the system before the modules were built. And, of course, there are some things that can be done along the way to make this more automated, but this is the way we did it because we wanted to make sure that we knew what we had. The module numbers ultimately were used to identify individual modules in the gen in the classing office. And then again, as I mentioned, link the module areas to the bale fiber quality data. The system can be easily installed and operated reliably in terms of basket tracking and wireless communication. During this operation, this research project this year, we had no hardware software problems at all, and the wireless transmission range was enhanced up to 800 meters, which I think, I don't remember, I think that, you know, for a decent sized field, that's all you need. If you want it to go on a 500 or 1,000 acre field, we'd probably need to expand that up. This is an example of a module boundary map that was created with the system, and you can see that some of this was circular rows on center pivot, and some of it was straight line rows off to the side there. And it's interesting that you get just varied sort of random shapes in the field based on how the modules were produced, but you know, that's how your map is going to look ultimately for your fiber quality data. And you might say, well, golly, we're used to dealing with either square pixels or little data points that are dispersed in a uniform way. Well, that's not what we have here, although I would say this is a lot better than not knowing anything at all about fiber quality as it varies in the field. So I really like this. I think it's good. In a different field, everything was running down the row, and you can see you get nice little rectangles here for the most part on your module areas. This was the Riverside field. Now we go to fiber quality maps, and sorry, it's a little hard to read, but the upper left there is Micronair, and right below that is Strength. And I'll have to put my glasses on so I can tell you the red here on Micronair indicates higher values of Micronair, going down to the green, which is lower values of Micronair. So you can see it sort of trends from the circular area down towards the lower mic areas out this way. And in Strength, again, you've got low strength in the green area, which is interesting that it's sort of opposite. The red is high, and those are right next to each other. And to be honest with you, at this point, I'm not sure why that came out looking like that. It's typically what we've seen is a trend from one point in the field to another point in the field, east, west, north, south, something like that. And that one was a little bit of an anomaly there at the impact center. You'll see the same categorization goes here where you've got the high Micronair values in red and the low Micronair values in green. And it sort of trends from one end of the field to the other. in strength, high strength in red and low strength in green. And it sort of trends from right to left here, but there's also a close proximity of high strength to low strength there. Now, these aren't huge differences, okay? We're talking about micronair values in the red there of 4.5 to 4.6, and in the green of 4.2 to 4.3. So they're not huge differences. This is a 25 hectare field here. If you get into a large field, you'll tend to see larger differences. Okay, what are the advantages of this? Well, this newer system, it's largely automatic. Let me skip down a couple of things here. The fourth bullet here, it talks about superimposing fiber quality maps on yield maps for revenue and profit mapping, and that's ultimately where we're trying to go. We'd like to be able to show a map that the green area is lots of dollars, or positive dollars, and the red area is negative dollars, and maybe yellow is about at break-even point. And my sense of it is that a lot of people are going to be surprised when they see a map of the fields that they're farming, that there's going to be a lot of red, and there's going to be a lot of green, and there's going to be a lot kind of in the yellow, which can make you think any large different numbers of possibilities of how to deal with that. But anyway, I think it's interesting. I think it's what we need to be striving for. Okay, I guess that's what I've got here. Let me thank the Texas Agricultural Experiment Station. Sorry, this is an old slide. We are now something different that I haven't figured out how I'm supposed to say yet. But their cropping systems program funded this work, and we appreciate it very much. And if I've got any time at all left, I'll take a question.
Sure, we have time for a few questions.
Randy? We are. Yeah. Dr. Swee and I actually have a project that we're looking at developing a fiber quality sensor, an optical-based fiber quality sensor. It's a difficult problem. I mean, there are some of the fiber quality measurements that are done in the classing office are done optically, and there's been a lot of research over the years that you may have run across where various optical measurements are used to look at different fiber quality characteristics. That's always been done on clean lint. When you're in a harvester, you've got greatly different situation than you've got in a environmentally controlled classing office. Plus, you've got seed cotton that's got all kinds of trash in it. So it makes it a much more difficult problem. But we do have a project on that and are pursuing that. But we're not ready to present on it yet. Calvin? Probably. That was what we did to make sure we had what we needed to have. But yeah, I think ultimately there's got to be a way to assign, maybe, you know, sort of randomly or sequentially assign numbers in the field and then be able to make sure that you've got a 100% link between that and the actual module number. And we didn't try to deal with figuring that out. We just wanted to make sure that we had what we needed to get the data. Right. Yeah. Okay, thank you.